Father, I do pray you bless me to speak words that honour you, that be an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I pray all of us would know the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. So suppose I knocked on your door tomorrow. I'm imagining you'd invite me in if you were free. And then we sit down and then we chat and you make me a cup of tea. Well, fruit tea. After a while, you say, have you come to see me about anything in particular? And I said, well, actually, I've come to tell you that I'm dying. How would you respond? Would you think, how's this going to affect me? Or would you have a concern for me? Well, if you're in the first group, I want to suggest you're in the best of company. Don't worry, I am not about to die, unless he knows something. I don't know. Jesus tells his disciples he's about to die. He tells them he's going to be delivered into the hands of men who would kill him, and 3 days later, he'd come back to life. So what do they talk about? Or rather, what do they argue about? About who's the greatest? Couldn't make it up, could you? And I don't know why, but my supposition is this, and it could be wrong. They don't understand what's happening, but they've understood enough to know that Jesus is leaving the scene, and they're asking who is going to replace Jesus as our leader. And quite a few of them are up for it, aren't they? They want to take on the role when Jesus departs. It's time for a bit of teaching. And so Jesus says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. How should we understand this? It's not how we think as humans, is it? Who gets to the top of an organization by being the servant of all? For Jesus, the way to become first was not through asserting yourself, trampling over other people, through aggression, or privilege, or status. It's through service and humility. It's not how it works for us, is it? How many people do you know who've got to the top of an organization through humility? Sadly, I want to say, even in the church. But Jesus says true greatness comes through service to others. Who was the very last and the servant of all when he washed the disciples' feet? Who was the very last and servant of all when he hung on a cross? Jesus, who we now recognize as first in all things. Interesting, isn't it? One commentator put it like this: the spirit of service is the passport to eminence in the kingdom of God. For it is the spirit of the master who himself became the servant of all. To illustrate this point, Jesus takes a child. Children had no standing back then. No status, no rights, no privileges. So he takes a child and he says, whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. You know, there's people who come to this church, and maybe you see yourself as one of them, who have no status in the world, who have no standout quality in the world, no money, no privileges perhaps. There are people in the world who would ignore such people and think it beneath them to speak to those kind of people. But we should not be like that, should we? By welcoming such people, we welcome Jesus Christ. We please and honor Jesus Christ. So if we want to be great in the eyes of Jesus Christ, we need to have a care for these people, the so-called insignificant people. And I just want to give a couple of examples, and I'm going to embarrass my mother, but her care for my father is an act of service, isn't it? Which honours the Lord. I think of Mary Ted and her care for Ted. It's a service to the Lord. Jesus concludes with these comments: whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Scripture is clear that Jesus was sent by the Father. The point remade here. And Scripture is also clear that you can't separate the Father from the Son. And that point is made again here, isn't it? There are those, and I'm not going to focus on that, who want to separate the Father and the Son in our society, even in our churches. They're not separable. There's no call for pluralism in the church today. By welcoming insignificant people, not only do we welcome the Son, but we welcome the Father as well. So let's have a look at our church, shall we? We don't have foot washing, do we? Can I just say how pleased I am that we don't have foot washing? The thought of somebody washing my foot, or equally my washing their foot, might have put me off the ministry altogether. But it's not our custom and it's not our culture. So what is our equivalent? I've got cleaning the church here. I wish I'd written down doing the refreshment. But I've got now. But refreshments is comparable. But I put down cleaning the church. This is a service to all in this beautiful church, isn't it? It's important. So thank you to all of you who clean this beautiful church. And none of us are above cleaning this church, are we? And if we think we are, we're not ready for anything else. Because if Jesus was here, he'd be cleaning the church. He'd be making my fruit tea. So I just want to finish by saying a few words about humility. What is humility? Now, I think we've all got an understanding, haven't we? But I think it's incredibly difficult to get an exact definition of humility. So what I did was I listed some of my ideas and I looked at others' ideas, and I've just got a bit of a mismatch to finish with. So I put down the person who recognises their need of God, who recognises they can achieve nothing without God. Someone else put it like this: complete resignation to our unconditional dependence on God. In one sense, I think all Christians have a degree of humility. We've all come to depend on Christ for our salvation, haven't we? And many of us depend on Christ for our day-to-day living. But all of us, I want to suggest, can make progress in that area, can't we? Becoming more dependent on God to live well. Because you can only live well through the power of the Holy Spirit. Any other way leads to pride and fall and failure. St. Thomas Aquinas thought of it as meaning submission to God and a consequent moderation of ambition to keep it within the bounds appointed for each individual by God. This is me again. You're probably marking me up against the others, aren't you? To have not a high opinion of oneself or a low opinion of oneself, but a righteous opinion of oneself. Someone else put it slightly better than me. They put it like this. Humility has been seen as an aspect of truthfulness, neither exaggerating nor denigrating the truth of what one is. Someone who loves others as they love themselves. To be humble is to be teachable. Someone who likes to serve but is ready to be served. Humility is the way of Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus is first because he was the very last and the servant of all. Are we not blessed to know such a man as our God? To him rightfully belongs all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, every blessing, for he is the best. He's amazing. Amen.